This is the Briznet.com call-in show on the Horse Racing Radio Network. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776. Now, here's Bobby Newman and Mike Pena.
Welcome to the Briznet.com call-in show. Bobby Newman and Mike Pena coming out of the respective bullpens for the Big A Anthony Stabile and Action Ed DeRosa, who for one reason or another are not able to be on the show this evening. But we hope to fill in and get the job done in their stead. I hope I do a better job, Mike, than Kenley Jansen does for my Los Angeles Dodgers, coming in and giving up runs left and right when he's supposed to be saving games. How's it going, my friend? We have not ever done this show together. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, this will be fun. I'm really excited. Like I said just a short time ago on race day, we were doing that program. It's just so great to be able to hop back on here and spend an hour with HRN Nation. And looking forward to taking your calls, so don't hesitate. 888-966-4776. That's 888-966-HRRN. And whatever's on your mind, get it off. Let's talk some racing.
Let's talk about, by the way, you mentioned the race day show, and we usually don't do this on the Briznet.com call-in show, but wanted to update everyone. If you were listening to race day, we went away with things up in the air for race five at Indiana Grand. They did make a change. Number three, Classic Max, was disqualified from second place third for causing interference to number one, Mo Wins, in the run up the backstretch. So 2-1-3-5, now the official order of finish for race five at Indiana Grand. And that's a big deal because that means the favorites ran one and two. But let's get back to the matters at hand, Mike. And aside from the great racing that we got to see today and the great racing they just have on a daily basis at Saratoga, we've got another one of those super duper cards coming up this Saturday at Saratoga. And it's a card that, it's hard to say this early or this far in advance of the Breeders' Cup that you can have a Breeders' Cup preview card. And obviously, there are so many Breeders' Cup races now with it being a two-day event, and there being, 14 different Breeders' Cup races now? I don't think, no card is truly a Breeders' Cup preview event because there's no card that covers every one of those divisions. But this card Saturday at Saratoga is just absolutely phenomenal. It's a 12-race card starting at 12:35, races 6 through 10, all stake races, and a couple of them with million-dollar purses.
It's fantastic. And the Whitney is just one of the signature races on that card on Saturday. And, well, let me start this way, Bobby. I'm a bit offended right now because I remember when I used to host these shows with Jude when we started these shows years ago, and Ed DeRosa, obviously part of those two. I never had to wait this long for the first caller. It's been like 3 minutes that we've been on the show, and I've not gotten a phone call yet, and I'm a bit offended by that.
Well, your wish is my command, and by the way, it has a lot to do with me, but Charles in Mississippi is on the air. Charles, welcome to the Briznet.com call-in show. It's Bobby and Mike.
Bobby and Mike?
Yeah, believe
Bobby
it or,
and Mike doing?
Believe it or not, our friend Big A is missing. Not really missing. He's just off today.
Anytime you get a new female in your life, Bobby, Big A, you can listen to him and hear his voice. And he's just in that love zone, baby.
Well, you know what?
He doesn't want to be alone.
I'm glad that the love zone is pointed toward her, whoever this new girlfriend is, and that Mike and I never have to see this side of him, because that's something I don't want to have to imagine. But Anthony is fine, and he'll be back,
Bobby,
with us on race day tomorrow.
Now, Bobby, Anthony is our friend now.
Oh, Anthony's the best.
Anthony is our friend.
Believe me, Anthony's the best. And Anthony is very concerned about you possibly coming up to see him at Saratoga this summer.
Okay. I'm going to clear up two things today. Number one, I am sitting in a hospital room minus a toe in Jackson, Mississippi. I'm sitting at a Baptist hospital. And about 3 weeks ago, I had cellulitis in one of my toes. And then last Thursday, I was trying to, a doctor was was treating me, and it just suddenly swole up. And I've been finally, I said, he said, let's do this, let's do that. I said, look, let's just remove this toe. It's not a prominent toe, and you know I'm trying to get well, but I'm in the Jackson Baptist Hospital.
Oh my goodness! Well, Charles,
I just wanted
me
to call the Big A, you, Bobby, Mike, everybody, and let them know that I'm on the road to recovery.
Charles, I'm so glad to hear that. This is Mike. I'm going to jump in here for a minute because I, first of all, I'm glad to hear that you're doing well and everything's okay. But I owe you a big thank you. I don't know if you caught it, but I gave you a shout out on my equine forum program shortly after you sent me those two wonderful books, and I really do appreciate that. Thank you.
Oh, Mike, look, I listen. You do a great job, and that guy that wrote those two books is a dear friend of mine, Wade Wyman, and he is a great turkey hunter, a great turkey hunter. But you make sure you tell the Big A what's going on with me, and that's why I've had several things happen. But anyway, I'm on the road to recovery, and tell him in the Whitney I'm going to go with Silver State and have an exacto with Maxfield. And I'll be listening to the equine forum. Bobby, y'all be good. And tell Big A that don't rush that love, okay?
We will absolutely pass that along. Thanks for the call, Charles. Have a great day, and we certainly wish you well in your recovery. And if it can't be this summer at Saratoga, I'm sure Anthony can wait till next summer to see you up there, my friend Charles in Mississippi, giving us an update on what he's got going on. And obviously, he's got bigger issues right now than just worrying about going up and seeing his friend Anthony Stabile up at Saratoga. But Charles is a longtime fan of the game, Mike, and he's got opinions. He's got good opinions, and he's a real good guy.
Yeah, good man. And, again, my thanks to Charles for those two books that he sent me on turkey hunting. Fantastic. Really appreciate it. You know, he picked Silver State in the Whitney on Saturday. Do you think, Bobby, Silver State is trained by Hall of Famer Steve Asmussen. Do you think that by the time we get to that race on Saturday, we're talking about Steve Asmussen as the all-time career wins leader among trainers in the sport of thoroughbred racing?
Well, my short answer is yes, and I don't know where he sits now. This time yesterday,
two
he
back.
Was two behind Dale Baird.
He still is. He had no runners today.
Well, first of all, that would have been the biggest price of all time if you can tell me that Steve Asmussen is not going to have a runner any part of the country. But, yes, I would think by the time that 5:48 Eastern time rolls around on Saturday at Saratoga, Steve Asmussen will have gotten at least two wins. And who knows, maybe Silver State will cap off what could be a huge weekend for him. Let's go to the phones once again. Britt in Atlanta, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys, thank you very much for taking my call. I have a quick question. I've noticed recently I mainly play Naira, and then the other tracks is there kind of, in season. What's the deal with the pick fives? I see where it says now, like on Saturday, there's a middle pick five, and it says mandatory payout. So I get the, the pick six, like Gulfstream, the big carryovers and mandatory payout. So do they do that with the pick five now too? And how much do they withhold each week? Is it, or each time? Kind of how's that work?
Okay, so first of all, that's a great question. And what they're doing now on these major race days, and especially when they have 12 races, 13 races, they've decided that they can add another pick five instead of just having the first five races and the last five races, which will normally encompass the entire nine or 10 race card. They've got a middle pick five, and they've got one races 6 through 10, the all stakes pick five this Saturday at Saratoga. But what happens is if nobody hits the early pick five, that is carried over to the next day's early pick five. If nobody hits the late pick five, that's carried over to the next day's late pick five. But when there's a middle pick five, you don't know when the next middle pick five is going to be. I mean, the next middle pick five might be 3 weeks from then. So that's why it's a mandatory payout. It's a one-and-done pick five where it's if nobody has five, they're going to pay four.
Yes. I got you. Okay, and so the early pick fives, like the early pick five, then if nobody hits it, it carries over to the next day's early pick five, not
correct.
The late pick five that same day.
Correct. And that happens at a few different tracks, but that's exactly the way it is. The earlies go to the earlies, the lates go to the lates, and the middles stand alone. As far as the percentage, as far as takeout, I don't know the exact answer to that. Mike, do you know?
I don't.
No, that's fine. I didn't know if they had, like, you know, the pick six and all that, or how they carry over a certain amount, you know, if there's more than one ticket. So, that answered my question. Last thing. So, who do you guys early pick in the Whitney? Can my boy Maxfield, can he get it done? Can he get a grade one?
Mike, I'll let you take it.
Yeah, I think he absolutely can get a grade one. I don't think there's any doubt. I love his running style. I love the way he finishes. I absolutely think he can, Britt. I know that he hasn't raced at Saratoga before. This will be his Saratoga debut, but he's a horse that doesn't need to take his racetrack with him. And I talk about this all the time on this program, that I'm a huge fan of the late pace numbers and the brisk past performances, and his late pace numbers are as strong as anybody in here, very consistent. I think he'll get enough pace in front of him. Yeah, and I absolutely think he's one of the ones, if not the one, in that Whitney.
Awesome, guys. We all are doing a great job. Mike, Bobby, thank you all very much, and hope you all cash some tickets this weekend, and talk to you guys soon.
All right, Britt, thanks for the call. Good luck on that big card at Saratoga. Britt out in Atlanta asking about those pick fives. We love playing those pick fives, and when you have these big race days, Mike, where you have extra races, NYRA, listen, they're not stupid at NYRA. They realize, hey, we can get, you know, people are going to keep playing these pick fives. We might as well add another one in there.
Yeah, don't say we love playing these pick fives. I hate them. I hate pick fours. I hate pick fives. I have hit one pick four, I think, in my entire life, and it was a good one. But other than that, Bobby, I'm like 1 for 50. I don't play them very often. I can't string four winners together, five winners together. I'm a one race at a time guy. Exactas, trifectas, those are my kind of bets.
Well, there's plenty of those kind of players out there, and there's plenty of the other kind of players out there, and
that's what makes the game go around.
Listen, the racetracks would not offer all the different wagers that they offer if there weren't people who liked playing those different wagers. I mean, I don't play Quinellas regularly. I don't think you play Quinellas regularly, but a lot of tracks have Quinellas, and the pools are decent. There are people that like playing Quinellas. You like playing, you know, the one or two horse proposition type plays, the win or the exactas or the doubles. I prefer pick three and onward, pick threes, pick fours, pick fives, trying to turn a little bit of money into a lot of money. Unfortunately, when you play those races, and especially, you know, when you're getting into the pick fours and pick fives, and especially people who play the pick sixes, you know, you're going to lose a lot more days than you're going to win. So if you're looking to grind out money, it's not the best way to go. But, you know, when you hit, there's a chance of you going out for a nice steak dinner. Let's put it that way. When you're done with it.
Yeah.
Let's go to John in Florida. He's on the line.
Yes. Hello.
Hey, John.
Bobby, I was a big fan of yours, a caller. I was a regular for many years, even before you, with Bob Savage and Phil Saltzman, and you were the best of the three.
I appreciate it. Thanks, John. I wish you were my agent.
Okay. My question is, there was probably a race you didn't see the other day, but at Saratoga, they had a race where the horse was, held in the gate, and they have an inquiry, and they said that the assistant starter held him in the gate too long, and the horse ended up running fourth in a 5-furlong turf race. So my question to you is, the owner gets penalized. They call him a non-starter. The horse ran fourth. It means the owner doesn't get any money, and the bettors who had the superfecta with this horse, they don't get the money with that either. Am I correct?
That is 100% correct. But if you think about it, it does a lot more harm to count that horse as a starter than to count him as a non-starter. All the people
well,
who
not
bet
the owner much. What have you ever seen in any case? And I've never seen this, and I've watched a lot of races where a horse had been, you know, where he was held in a gate and won the race. In other words, there would be a controversy if they ever let that go in there.
That I agree. It would be a controversy, and thanks for your call, John. I have not ever seen that, Mike, where a horse was inadvertently held in the gate, you know, mistakenly by the assistant starter and went on to win. Normally, when that happens, either the horse doesn't come out of the gate at all, or you know, they're left with so much to do that they have no chance. Now, this horse ran fourth, and I understand what John is saying. You know, fourth place is still usually some sort of a small percentage of the purse to the owners, and people who had the horse fourth in the superfecta would have cashed. But I think there's far more bad that would happen if they allow that horse to be a starter than good when this kind of thing happens.
Yeah, you have to automatically make that horse. I guess they could. Well, I don't know if that wouldn't work either, right? You couldn't make the horse purse money only. Well, I guess you could, right? You could make it that the horse runs for purse money only and is just not part of the wagering.
And certain jurisdictions may have that in there,
yeah,
where that still happens, and it's declared a non-starter. It's, like you said, purse money only. I don't know if that's the case in New York, but more often than not, the right call is to declare the horse the non-starter because, let's face it, he or she did not receive a flair start.
Yep.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll have more. Phone lines are open, 888-966-476. Or rather, 4776. That's 888-966-HRRN. You're listening to the Brisnet.com call-in show here on HRRN.
This is the Brisnet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then Brisnet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. Brisnet.com Performance Plan covers unlimited PDF past performances for just $85 per month and is available at Brisnet.com/plans. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips. Plus, sire stats for only $275 per year and is available at Brisnet.com/APR. The Brisnet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is $125 per month. Visit Brisnet.com for all this information and more, and discover why Brisnet is the handicapper's edge.
I want to get back to being in my community group.
I want to continue having a soccer season.
So I can throw parties again. So I can go to her parties.
It'd really be nice to dine in instead of getting delivery for a change.
So I can feel safe and protected for myself and my students.
We each have our own reason for why we're getting vaccinated against COVID-19. What will yours be? Visit getvaccineanswers.org for information on the COVID-19 vaccines. It's up to you. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hey, racing fans, Mike Pena here. Are you or someone you know looking for racing news in Spanish? Then check out the latest product from ElPotroRoberto.com. La Mía Extra, a monthly news magazine touching on every aspect of the world of thoroughbred racing, and it's all in Spanish. From breeding and veterinary topics to racing stats, results, pedigree information, and more, you'll find it all in La Mía Extra. And here's the best part. It's available absolutely free. Get your copy today on issue.com/La Mía Extra or visit ElPotroRoberto.com.
Hi, this is the Big A, Anthony Stabile, reminding you that Race Day, presented by Twin Spios, comes to you every Wednesday through Friday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern here on HRRN. Bobby Newman joins me for racing from tracks like Churchill Downs, Belmont Park, and Santa Anita. We'll also bring you interviews with all of the players, both big and small, in thoroughbred racing. You can tune in to Race Day, presented by Twin Spios, on Sirius 219, XM 201, or stream it live on your home for all of racing's biggest events at horseracingradio.net.
Hi, this is Chris McCarron, and you're listening to the best horse racing show on the radio on Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Brisnet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Welcome back to the BrisNet.com call-in show. Bobby Newman and Mike Penna sitting in for the Big A in action, Ed DeRosa. Phone lines are open, 888-966-4776. Right now, it's time for the Blood Horse News Update and a look at the top headlines from BloodHorse.com. And Mike, not all stories are happy stories. Wesley Ward files for summary judgment in Ramsey suit. Trainer Wesley Ward filed a motion August 3rd for summary judgment in Jessamine Circuit Court, seeking to force owner breeder Ken Ramsey to pay $903,274 in outstanding training bills. Ward initially filed a suit March 19th to recover the delinquent payments. After that filing, Ramsey reportedly agreed to pay the trainer a minimum of $100,000 per month until the debt was paid, to give Ward all money from purses and claimed horses and keep current on all monthly invoices, according to court documents. Ramsey reportedly made miscellaneous payments to Ward from purses and money earned on claims, along with one $100,000 payment in May, but has not paid any payments in June and July. That wraps up this afternoon's edition of the Blood Horse News Update. The new Blood Horse Plus, available through BloodHorse.com, provides exclusive content to subscribers, including a daily detailed stakes winners section, behind-the-scenes videos and interviews, on-demand access to deeper horse stats, Blood Horse Market Watch, monthly credit on equineline.com for pedigrees, race, and produce records, and much more. That's the new Blood Horse Plus on BloodHorse.com. Upgrade today. And Mike, as I mentioned, not all stories in racing are ones that put a smile on your face, and some of them just kind of make you shake your head and say, how does this happen? An owner and breeder as prominent as Ken Ramsey, you know, being this far delinquent on bills.
Yeah, and by the way, if folks want to weigh in on this topic, I think it's a good one, Bobby. 888-966-4776, the number to call. This show all about you, the listener, so let us know your thoughts. But, you know, when I read these kind of stories, and this really is no state secret, that Ken Ramsey is regarded as an owner that is not good with paying his trainers. I think this goes back to the days when Chuck Simon was training for him, and maybe even before that. But and it kind of breaks my heart, because I have gotten to know Ken Ramsey over the years, and we spent time together in Barbados when he was running horses down there. I've been out to the farm for various events that he has held, and I view Ken Ramsey as a very good person. But if indeed this is true, Bobby, it's inexcusable. If you're gonna play, and Ken Ramsey certainly isn't hurting for money, as they say, if you're going to play and you're gonna play at this level, and if this is indeed true, then you have to pay, right? You have to pay the people that you are hiring to do this job for you. And if Wesley Ward is saying, hey, look, he owes me this amount of money, you can dispute the amount of money, but somewhere where there's smoke, there's fire, right? And if this is indeed true, it's very disheartening to me, because Ken Ramsey was an advertiser of ours for a long time. He's not anymore, as he scaled back, but he was for a long time. And Bobby, I can tell you, we never waited for a nickel of our money. He paid every bill, paid him on time, and it's just, you know, it wasn't nearly this much money, of course, but it's just disheartening to me that this could be happening. But from what I understand, it's not something that's new, a new developing story.
Let's get out to the phones. George in Naples, welcome to the show. You're on with Bobby and Mike.
Hey, guys. I have a thought on this topic. You know, we may not want to admit it, but a couple years ago, a couple times, I saw Ken Ramsey at Churchill, and he was betting tens of thousands of dollars. He couldn't pull it out of his pocket fast enough. He was sweating profusely. He was just living in the windows. Now, this was before online gaming was so popular. So, you know, it was really, Twin Spires wasn't at the forefront the last time I saw him.
We don't want to, you know, we don't want to publicize it.
Maybe
he just gambled it all away.
You know, guys have
lost a lot more than what he's worth in this world.
So
it's certainly a possibility. I mean, we're trying to scratch our heads. He's got all these horses and all these mares and all these stables. He's getting all these stakes.
It's gone somewhere. And, you know,
it's certainly possible. So
that's my thought on what it might be.
Because,
you know, there is a dark side to this sport. And
guys have lost their whole world. Not just horses, but football and basketball and, you know.
You don't want to use the word degenerate because
that's not really
what I'm saying. But
he could. He needs some serious
help.
Yeah, George, if you could, don't mean to interrupt you there, but if you could just take your phone away from your mouthpiece for a minute. It's a bit muffled coming back to us, a little bit difficult to hear you. But I think the gist of what we were getting there was that you had seen Ken Ramsey, you had watched him wager, and there's no state secret about this either, that Ken Ramsey likes to bet, and he's the self-proclaimed king of the pick six, and he loves to wager. Listen, this isn't something that, again, is a new development. This goes back a ways, and this has been happening for a long time, and especially if you read what Wesley Ward is saying, what Mike Maker is saying, and from what other trainers have said over the years. Look, if you're not paying your bills, that's a problem. And the trainers in this instance are 100% in the right saying, hey, we need to do something about this. It's got to go through the court system now because we should be getting paid. And if you're not, that's a problem. It's not right. And, you know, it needs to get rectified.
Offered up as one reason, because I haven't heard a lot of other reasons why this would happen. Because on paper, he certainly looks like he should be able to pay his bills. You guys, thanks for the show. We always appreciate it.
Thanks, George.
All right, George, thanks for your call. You know, that is one possibility, Mike, that gambling has something to do with it. I'm gonna give you another very plausible possibility. And I don't know anything about this other than what I read. And by the way, not always what you read is exactly 100% true. But, you know, I trust in Blood Horse more than most of the publications out there. You know, these guys, and it's not just Wesley Ward that Ken Ramsey is owed money to. I think Mike Maker was one of the trainers as well who filed suit against Ken Ramsey. And the fact is, if you know the guy has the money, then these guys are afraid to lose their business because, let's face it, when they pay, you know, Ken Ramsey sends these guys a lot of horses where Mike Maker and his team and Wesley Ward and his team win a lot of races and win a lot of purses. And you don't want to have to get rid of an owner like that who can make you that much money in purses. Now, obviously, it's gotten to a point where, you know, that maybe the money owed outweighs the money earned, and they need to do something about it. But that's how it goes. I had a friend long time ago who was a big bettor at a racetrack, and he would continually write checks, and that the checks would be bad, but they knew eventually he was going to pay, and he was the biggest bettor at the track, and they didn't want to lose his handle. So they kept fronting him money, and they'd give him like a $5,000 line, another $10,000 here. And they knew eventually he was going to write him a check for $50,000 and would cover it or something like that. But they don't want to lose that business. I'm not saying that 100% happened with Ken Ramsey, but I think that's a plausible thing, that maybe these guys didn't want to lose his business. And so they let him string along for a while until it just got too much. Let's go back to the phones, Mike. Chris in New Jersey, you're on with Bobby and Mike.
Good afternoon, Bobby and Mike. How the heck are you guys?
Doing great, Chris. How are you?
Good. I don't want to malign Ken Ramsey. I want to get a good conversation going here. Let's say Brendan Walsh, like our friend Anthony, falls in love and says, I'm going back to Ireland and I'm leaving Maxfield here, and you own Maxfield and you're trying to win the Classic. Who are the three trainers you would think of first to send Maxfield to? Would you want the heat of sending him to Baffert with all the controversy, or would you think of three other guys? And I'm just interested, who are the three best trainers if you're trying to win the Classic? I'll hang up, and I'm interested to hear what you guys have to say.
Well, thanks for your call, Chris. Mike, I'm going to let you start with that one. And he asked a tough question there, because that first name on the list is one you really have to think about with Bob Baffert.
You would have to think about Bob Baffert. And I, if you're purely just saying, okay, I want to win the Classic, first of all, the Classic is going to be contested at Del Mar, right? So Bob Baffert can compete at Del Mar. So he's one of the guys that you have to think about. And I think Bob Baffert would be one. I think for me, he wouldn't be my top choice right now, but I think my top choice would probably be Todd Pletcher, the man who's going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame tomorrow. I think Todd Pletcher would be my top pick. I think Steve Asmussen is somebody else who you'd have to consider. And then Baffert. Those would be the big three. Those would be the – if I was looking – look, if you don't want to go the Baffert route and you want somebody in California that can win the race for you, how about Richard Mandela?
Right, and there's obviously somebody like Brad Cox out there who wins races with every division, every part of the country. Before we get to break, Mike, you posed an interesting thought there. I wonder if it is the California Horse Racing Board or the Breeders' Cup who has the final say on who can and cannot run in the Breeders' Cup at Del Mar.
Great question. I don't know the answer. I know when Breeders' Cup shows up at these different venues, they take over, and you know, the racetrack itself doesn't have much to do other than lending support to the Breeders' Cup organization. But the setup, the logistics, the protocols that are in place are all Breeders' Cup protocols. They take over the actual event, and they have their own set of standards, their own set of rules. It wouldn't surprise me if it was a Breeders' Cup decision, Bobby, but I honestly don't know the answer to that question. But you're talking about just answering, you know, the question of our listener here, Bob Baffert, the all-time winningest trainer in the history of the Breeders' Cup Classic. He's won it four times. You know, Pletcher, we know that he can win the race. Asmussen can win it. And like I say, I think if I was going to go one other direction, all due respect to a guy like Bill Mott, I think maybe Richard Mandela might be my choice with the race being on the West Coast.
All good choices. Great question by Chris. We're going to take another break. When we come back, we'll get to Tom in St. Louis. You're listening to the BrisNet.com call-in show on HRRN.
This is the BrisNet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BrisNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. BrisNet.com Performance Plan covers unlimited PDF past performances for just $85 per month and is available at BrisNet.com/plans. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips. Plus, sire stats for only $275 per year and is available at BrisNet.com/APR. The BrisNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is $125 per month. Visit BrisNet.com for all this information and more, and discover why BrisNet is the handicapper's edge.
Joe Buck and John Smoltz welcoming you back to the City Center Convenience Mart. Well, John, the stage is set for the final transaction.
That's right, Joe. Heather's moment has arrived, and you just hope all that training pays off.
Heather lays down her purchase, but Randy rings it up as slowly as he can.
He is a wily veteran.
It gives Heather's eyes the chance to wander.
Uh-oh.
Yep, she's looking at the cigarettes.
There's nothing good back there. Quit now, and in 5 years, your odds of getting certain cancers drop 50%.
Meanwhile, Randy's stone-faced. He's giving nothing away. He just stands there, wetting his cashier's finger on that sponge.
Heather toes the rubber.
Here we go. Heather's arm is in motion. But instead of pointing at the back wall, she just grabs the gum off the counter.
That's a slick move.
Heather, back, back, back. She is out of there. Even Randy tips his cap to Heather. Stand Up to Cancer and Rally wants you to reduce your risk for cancer.
Go to takeahealthystand.org.
Get to know the men and women who make this sport go on Trainer Talk, presented by Fasig Tipton. Mike Pena sits down with Hall of Famers, up-and-comers, and everyone in between with an intimate conversation that goes beyond the X's and O's. Hear their stories every Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. Eastern on Sirius 219 XM 201 or streaming live at horseracingradio.net. It's the show that trainers listen to. Trainer Talk, presented by Fasig Tipton, only on HRRN.
Hi, this is Joel Rosario, and I listen to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Briznet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Welcome back to the Briznet.com call-in show. Bobby Newman and Mike Penna pinch hitting for the Big A in action at DeRosa on a Thursday night. Let's get back out to the phone lines. Tom in St. Louis has been waiting. Tom, welcome to the Briznet.com call-in show.
Bobby, how are you? Mike, it's so good to talk to you again. How are you, my friend?
Good, Tom. Good to hear your voice.
Good to hear yours. Good to hear yours. I miss calling in once in a while on Saturday mornings and mentioning things like Tom Durkin on Match Game. Got a question, and it's an odd question. And it's a Midwestern thing. David Gall, the writer who spent almost all his career at Fairmont, Cahokia Downs, places like that, he won the fifth most races of all time. He passed away last Saturday evening. There was some talk the other day at the track about, you know, he's never been considered for the Hall of Fame. The dude's, you know, won fifth most races of all time. The guy that's hit the fifth most home runs is in the Hall of Fame. You know, I know you always get a regional or local version when you have that discussion, but I respect both of your opinions on a nationwide basis. And, you know, when they look toward the Hall of Fame and items like that, do they ever consider somebody like that? I do know Russell Bays is in, but, you know, little guys like, you know, David, are they ever given even any consideration, or is it simply you didn't win a Breeders' Cup race, you didn't win a Grade One, you didn't win anything like that? How was that looked at?
Well, I'll start with this, and Tom, thanks for your call. You know, first of all, starting with Russell Bays, even though the Northern California circuit pales in comparison to the Southern California circuit, it's a far bigger circuit than that at Fairmount Park. And Russell Bays, was the leading rider of all time. So I don't think there's any way you can keep him out of the Hall of Fame. And, of course, he won several stakes as well, and he won in Southern California. But I think David Gall 100% should be in the Hall of Fame. And it's unfortunate that he's kind of being held out of it because of where he rode. Let's face it, Fairmount Park, which is now FanDuel Sportsbook and Horse Racing, and Cahokia Downs are not the billboard names of racetracks. Gall was a leading rider by wins several years in the late 70s, early 80s, as far as nationwide. As you mentioned, he's the fifth all-time leading rider. I don't think it should be held against him, the fact that he rode at this smaller racetrack. You know, it's somewhat the same way it shouldn't be held against a player because they play for the Colorado Rockies and the ball travels so well in Colorado. You know, it is what it is. The stats are the stats. The guy was obviously a very, very good rider, and he was far and away the best rider on that circuit for many, many years. He is nationally top five all time. I don't see how you keep him out of the Hall of Fame, and the truth is he probably will never get in.
Let me ask you this question, Bobby. Is Perry Oots a Hall of Famer?
Yes.
So Perry Oots should be in the Hall of Fame too?
Yes.
Okay, so Perry Oots is number six all time. David Gall won 7,396 races. Perry Oots is currently, and by the way, still active, 7,204 career wins. David Gall, I think the one thing that people will look at, and it's kind of, this is a very similar situation, Bobby. I get a vote for the Eclipse Awards every year, and they send you the information, and I refuse to put in votes just based on popularity, okay? I don't want it to be a popularity contest, and sometimes that happens, but you tend to gravitate toward the bigger names when you're voting on a category like leading breeder or leading trainer or leading owner, whatever it might be. And I think it's important that you try to weigh the quality of the victories against the quantity of the victories that an individual or an organization had in a specific year when you're voting for something like the Eclipse Awards. This is similar. where David Gall, yes, number five all-time in number of wins, his only win in a stakes race, a graded stakes race, was in 1993, which was the Fairmount Derby. That was his only one. And I think that that is the factor. That's the one thing people will look at when they're thinking about the Hall of Fame. They're going to say, listen, yeah, he won a lot of races, but they were a lot of low-level races. And I don't know how you hold that against a guy, because you win a lot of races, you win a lot of races. He won the fifth most races in the history of thoroughbred racing. You think about the jockeys that are behind him, Chris McCarron, Edgar Prado, Angel Cordero Jr., all Hall of Famers, Sandy Hawley, Eddie Delahousse. I mean, I could go on and on. He won more races than all of those guys, but I think what people look at is quality over quantity. And, boy, I don't know. I mean, you win that many races, you're doing something right. You are elite, and if you're elite, you deserve to be in the Hall of Fame.
I can only tell you this, Mike, as somebody who grew up in Southern California and did not get to see a lot of Fairmount Park racing, let's face it, they didn't have a lot of races that were worthy of being on national broadcasts. You know, they were never on down the stretch with Sharon Smith or or any, you know, anything that Chris Lincoln and the folks would cover. But anytime you would see Fairmount, like if we went to Las Vegas and it was a Tuesday when Fairmount and only a few other places were running, you saw the name David Gall, and he rode every favorite at Fairmount. And you say, well, that's why he won so many races. Well, is it the chicken or the egg that comes first? Is he riding all the favorites because he's far and away the best rider there, or is he the best rider there because he rides all the favorites? I think he's riding the favorites because the guys with the favorites want to put him on the horses, and the same way with Russell Bayes.
Let me ask you this. Do you view Mario Pino when I say that?
I have to look at those stats. I don't have them in front of me.
I'll give them to you. So David Gall, I mentioned the one greatest stakes win. Perry Utz, number six all-time in wins. He has never won a greatest stakes race in his career, but he's number six all-time in wins. Mario Pino, number 10 on the wins list all-time. He's still riding. He can add to that total. He trails Angel Cordero Jr., who is ahead of him. He has 7,057 wins. Mario Pino, 6,969 currently. Mario Pino has won a lot of great stakes. Remember, he rode Hard Spun, and there were other great horses that he rode, but he has won a lot of great stakes. He's number 10 all time. I think if anybody is going to eventually have a case to get into the Hall of Fame among riders that aren't already there in the top 10, it's going to be Mario Pino.
Well, I'm going to go even further. I think I misspoke earlier when I said that, unfortunately, David Gall will probably never get in. I actually think he will get in, and because there always seems to be a historical category. You know, every year there's somebody on the ballot or there's somebody who gets in, and it's not just horse racing. It's every sport where, the Veterans Committee voted or the whatever, and it's some jockey from 78 years ago or a trainer from 130 years ago that, let's face it, you and I don't know off the top of our heads. And I think somewhere down the line, that's how David Gall could get into the Hall of Fame. I mean, if you're sitting there, let's put it this way. How many years have to go by where he's top five all time, where somebody doesn't just say, how is this guy not in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah,
he's been a top five all time. He's been top five for 40 years or whatever. You know, I'm not yet it hasn't been 40 years, but you know what I'm saying.
It happens in other sports, too. Look at the NFL. You have a guy like Vinny Testaverde, right? He's, top 10 quarterback in terms of his statistics, but he can't get into the Hall of Fame. I think we put a premium on the quality victories that people have in their career when you're talking about something like the Hall of Fame.
By the way, whenever you say the name Vinny Testaverde, I had a friend growing up who for some reason kept calling him Nick Tortelli, and I said, no, that's Carla's boyfriend from the show Cheers. That's not the quarterback who's playing in the NFL. All right, let's get back to racing. We'll get back to the phones. Jeff in Louisville, welcome to the Brisnet.com call-in show. You're talking to Mike and Bobby.
Hey, guys, thanks for taking the call. I appreciate it. Hey, I had to call in. You were talking about these jocks, and I'm a huge fan of what they do and their sport and all, blah, blah, blah. And, yes, I'll go ahead and answer your question. David Gall will get in, and it won't be
you know, 50 years from now, he'll get in. There's another guy just like David Gall. Maybe you guys remember him. He might be in, but he'll be the in. Carl Gambardella. Remember that name?
Yeah, sure.
Guys like Carl Gambardella, David Gall, back in the late 80s, early 90s, there was still only a handful of guys with, I think, what, 6,000 wins? Is that the number?
Yeah, he's 6,300. Yeah.
Yeah, well, back then, there wasn't, but I'd say less than a dozen guys with 6,000 wins. And those two guys remind me of the same. They did it the hard way. In the snow, the rain, and the tough weather, just like Periutes on cheap horses, they did it the hard way, man. They deserve to be in.
Yep, it's a great point. It's a great point. They, you know, all these riders get out there, they ride in the elements. But, yeah, guys like that, I mean, they're at places like Beulah Park and Thistledown, and they're there in the dead of winter, and they're there when, you know, these tracks don't have a lot of interest, and they're showing up, and they're doing it, yeah, the hard way. It's a great way to put it. But you're right, a guy like Carl Gambardella, now he's 16th all-time in terms of wins, 63-49. And again, he's got a couple of greatest stakes wins to his credit, not nearly as many as a guy like Mario Pino. It just comes down to looking at quality over quantity for so many voters in this particular category.
Yeah. If I get a vote, Pino's definitely in. You know, there for a while, up in Maryland, he was, you know, he was the king.
Yep.
Up in Maryland, Mario Pino, yeah. Hey, real quick, remember the old Jockey Guild, Jockey Cards?
I do.
Yeah.
Well, back when they came out, I think, late 80s, and for 3-4 years in the 90s is all they made them in the beginning. I actually collected them. Then I actually was a jockey agent a few years. But I lived by Churchill Downs, and I'd go over there every time a new jock come into town and get him to sign his card. I've got over 600 autographed jockey cards. Got to be the most complete autographed jockey card collection in the world, I would think. I don't know what I'm going to do with them. I'd like to donate them one day to something, but they got to be worth something.
Well, speaking of the Hall of Fame, maybe the Hall of Fame would be happy to take those off your hand. Thanks for the call, Jeff. Really appreciate it. That's a fantastic collection. I'd love to see that collection, Mike, all those jockey cards. That probably bring back memories of riders that we haven't thought about in a long, long time. We're going to take our final break. When we come back, our final segment here on the Brisnet.com call-in show. You're listening to HRRN.
This is the Brisnet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then Brisnet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. Brisnet.com Performance Plan covers unlimited PDF past performances for just $85 per month and is available at Brisnet.com/plans. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips. Plus, sire stats for only $275 per year and is available at Brisnet.com/APR. The Brisnet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is $125 per month. Visit Brisnet.com for all this information and more, and discover why Brisnet is the handicapper's edge.
Right now, we all might feel a little disconnected. For seniors living alone with smaller social circles, feelings of loneliness and isolation can feel overwhelming. But there's something we can all do to help. Connect with your older loved one virtually and have the conversation of a lifetime with StoryCorps Connect. Anyone can conduct an interview, and every interview will be archived at the Library of Congress, becoming part of American history. Connect, honor, share at StoryCorpsConnect.org/AARP. A message from AARP, StoryCorps, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Kelsey Grammer. When military service members head into battle, none are expected to face the enemy alone, but many return home and become isolated as they struggle with the visible and invisible wounds of war. It can be difficult knowing how to overcome that challenge and rekindle bonds similar to those formed in the military. Wounded Warrior Project supports these injured veterans through their recoveries by connecting them with fellow warriors and their communities. No one should fight this battle alone.
Join us at WoundedWarriorProject.org.
Hi, this is jockey Brian Hernandez. For me, there's no bigger thrill than crossing the finish line in front, and nobody captures the excitement of our sport like Horse Racing Radio Network. Each week, HRRN brings you exclusive talk shows, podcasts, and in-depth conversations with the biggest names in racing, jockeys, trainers, owners, and more. Plus, HRRN is committed to helping disabled riders through their support of the PDJF. So climb aboard a winner today by visiting horseracingradio.net.
This is Dale Romans, and you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the BrisNet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Welcome back to the BrisNet.com call-in show. Bobby Newman and Mike Penna pinch hitting, as it were, for the Big A and Action Ed DeRosa on this Thursday evening. Phone lines are still open. We've got a few minutes left if you'd like to call in. 888-966-4776 is the number. Ask us anything, and we will 95% of the time give you our honest answer.
Some fantastic questions already, Bobby. When you have astute listeners like we do, and they know the game of thoroughbred racing the way that they do, you get some. It's a great mix here on the call-in show, and I love the question about Brendan Walsh. If he were to suddenly say, you know what, I'm out of here, I'm going back to Ireland, and Maxfield's going to go to somebody, which trainer are you going to choose if you're trying to win the Breeders' Cup Classic? That was good. And then the conversation, the question about the David Gall and the jockeys and the Hall of Fame. You know, the Hall of Fame induction's tomorrow, and I'm going to get a chance to visit with Hall of Famer Mark Cassie, who will officially be a dual Hall of Famer after tomorrow when he's formally inducted. He was actually part of the 2020 class, but because of COVID, he's not getting in till this year. But he's going to be with me to go down the road to the Breeders' Cup on our Saturday morning Equine Forum show. So he's part of a loaded program. Brendan Walsh also going to be part of that show. But it's such a great event. We broadcast the Hall of Fame inductions on radio for a few years, and it was always so much fun to just kick back and listen to the speeches and hear exactly how much it means to those individuals when they finally do get inducted.
And speaking of the Hall of Fame, another tradition that goes along with the Hall of Fame ceremony is the National Museum of Racing Hall of Fame Stakes that takes place on the same day at Saratoga, and that will be one of three stakes races on the card tomorrow at Saratoga. We will be able to cover all three of the Saratoga Stakes tomorrow on race day. The Grade 2 National Museum Racing Hall of Fame Stakes goes as race number 7 on the 10-race program tomorrow. Approximate post time is 4:29 Eastern time, and a strong and very evenly matched field of 8 3-year-olds set to go a mile on the turf at Saratoga. Other stakes on tap tomorrow: the Aladar, $120,000 purse, and the Troy, a Grade 3 event for the sprinters going 5.5 furlongs on the turf. This is the Troy Stakes presented by Horse Racing Ireland. How about that for reaching out for sponsorship for the stake races? Happy to have all three stakes headlined by that Grade 2 National Racing Museum Hall of Fame Stakes tomorrow on the program. Boy, Saratoga, it just never stops, Mike, with the constant, it's just a barrage of good race after good race and big names, whether it's horses or jockeys or trainers or whatever. It just never stops. What a fantastic meet, and it's continuing this year.
Yeah, it's incredible, and it has been for what, almost 150 years or so. Hey, I got a question for you, Bobby, and if people want to chime in, we only have a couple of minutes left, so we have to make it quick. 888-966-4776, the number of the call. But Steve Asmussen, he is 2 wins shy of equaling Dale Baird as the all-time wins leader among trainers in thoroughbred racing history. 3, of course, he'll break the record, and that's going to happen maybe even over the weekend. He has 2 horses entered tomorrow. He has 1 at Saratoga, 1 at Ellis Park, and on Saturday he has 2 at Louisiana Downs. He has 6 horses entered at Saratoga, including Silver State in the Whitney, and 3 at Ellis Park. He has 3 at Monmouth Park on Saturday, and then a bunch on Sunday, too. So you have to assume it's likely to happen this weekend. How many races will it take Steve Asmussen to break the record, to win three? How many more starts do you think it takes him?
Okay, well, I cheated a little bit because I'm already looking at the fourth race at Saratoga tomorrow, which is the first one, I guess, that he would be running in.
Yep.
And he has the 5-2 morning line favorite, Jalen Journey, down on the inside in a sprint with just a field of six. So, well, actually, he's not the favorite. There's a 9-5, and there are 2 5-2s in the race. I'm going to say it will, for him to get three wins and break the record, it will be 11 starters.
Okay. Yeah, it's hard to really say without actually looking at them. And I wasn't really expecting a rock solid answer, but I guess maybe a better way to ask the question would be, what would you set the over under at if you were going to do it? And probably 11 would be a good over under, or 10.
Well, I mean, Steve Asmussen, it looks like he's winning this year at a 20% clip. So if you go with that theory, 15 would be the number for him to win three.
Yep.
Now, he's winning it a little higher than a 20% clip at Saratoga, maybe a little lower at some other places. But I'm going to say that somewhere around 14.5 would be the number. Nobody likes a push, so it's got to be a half.
Are you taking over or under?
Well, I'm rooting for him, so I'm going to take under. But, you know, then again, I may handicap the races, and if there's something I really like that is trained by somebody other than Steve Asmussen, I'm hoping desperately for the over.
Yeah, let me tell you, I am going to do my best. If he gets the record between now and Sunday, maybe even Monday, I am going to do my best to try to have Steve on Trainer Talk next week as the all-time wins leader. He joined me a few years back at Saratoga. We had a wonderful show. It was an hour-long visit, and he told me things. We put the headsets down, and he said, I bet you nobody ever knew that about me. And next time I get a chance to talk to him, I hope it's as the all-time wins leader.
Well, it may be the next time you talk to him, but just whether or not it's this Wednesday or the Wednesday after that.
Right.
Speaking of what's coming up on the program, I want to remind everybody, tomorrow, Race Day is back, presented by Twin Spires. I'll be joined, I assume, by the Big A, Anthony Stabile, live from Saratoga, 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time, followed by the Weekend Stakes Preview, presented by Naira Betts, from 6 to 7 p.m., where we go over all of those great races Saturday at Saratoga and a lot of other big ones from around North America. And, of course, Saturday is the show that launched the network, the three-hour bonanza edition of the Equine Forum, hosted by our good friend, the Baron Mike Penna. And once again, who will be on the show this Saturday?
It's a very busy show. I mean, we're going to cover a lot of ground. Brad Free from the Daily Racing Forum is going to be with me. He covers Del Mar and Southern California racing, so we'll get a chance to talk some Del Mar. They have the best Pale Stakes in the Yellow Ribbon out there on Saturday. Hall of Famer Mark Cassie, dual Hall of Famer Mark Cassie, is going to be with me as well. And Brendan Walsh, part of that show. We'll have our Unsung Heroes segment, where I visit with a groom, a trainer, an exercise rider, somebody who works behind the scenes that doesn't often get recognized. Those have become extremely popular. Hall of Famer Jose Santos is on the show. He sits down for a visit with retired jockey Sean Clancy. And we'll talk about the 100th edition of the Fasig-Tipton Saratoga sale, which comes up next Monday and Tuesday.
A lot of stuff going on, as always, on the three-hour bonanza edition of the Equine Forum, 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time every Saturday. You can listen right here on horseracingradio.net. Also, Sirius 219 XM 201. Mike, they're playing our music. It's been a lot of fun today, both on race day and here on the call-in show. We got to do it again sometime, my friend.
Yeah, absolutely. This was a blast. And again, it's been a while since I've been able to be here to talk to HRN Nation. Listen, appreciate each and every one of you out there who took the time to call in and takes the time to listen to our shows every week and all throughout the year. Thank you very much. Without you, we don't have a network.
And a special thanks to our friends over at BrisNet. Mike and I both use the BrisNet.com Ultimate PPs. They are absolutely fantastic. I've been using them almost 20 years now. I just love these past performances. If you've never seen the BrisNet Ultimate PPs, log on to BrisNet.com and check them out. They are spectacular. Have a great weekend, everyone, or rather a great night. We'll see you tomorrow, 3 p.m. on race day.